No. So, oh
Hmm.
man. How's everybody doing? Good God, it's been a
I
long
think
day.
the rain does not help either.
I mean, I've just been up all fucking day. I mean, I've been up since 6, and I'm not usually up this early or that early in a day. So for I mean, you're like, 6 o'clock, whatever. I'm already up for
That's
3 hours
sleeping
at
in.
that
That's
point.
an hour of
Yeah.
sleeping in for me.
Right. Yeah, you're like, oh, I've been up for 3 hours at this point. For me, that's definitely not normal. But for you guys who didn't catch it, I took Howard Bender with me, and we went on the Bubba show on 100.7 Star today. It was a lot of fun. We went on there at 8 a.m. today. We talked about the con. Howard did an awesome drawing of them as superheroes that they're going to use as like a coloring contest page now, which is awesome. And then live, we had Mel and Gwen draw the Superman shield, and we're going to take it around at the show to a couple guys who actually worked on Superman and rate them to see whose Superman shield is better. We haven't figured out who's going to win, but I'm going to try to use it as a ploy to come back on the show and talk about it. So you are muted, sir. So there.
I was muting because the
Oh.
dog
Yep.
is barking at deer, so
Oh, that's okay.
evil deer.
Yeah, dear evil. It's okay. But thank you, Howard Bender, for being part of that. That was a hell of a lot of fun. Thank you, Bubba and Mel, for having us on. Thanks, Gwen, for setting that up. Bubba will be at the show, by the way. And he will be live tweeting from the show the whole day. It's going to be awesome. Or live Facebooking or whatever social media he's going to be doing. By the way, he's a big Flash fan, so if you guys see him, you can talk to him about the Flash. That is his comic of choice. We talked about that a little bit today. So I thought it was kind of fitting that like I am a Green Lantern guy and he's a Flash guy, and they were kind of buddies for a long time in like Brave and the Bold and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of a cool pairing. But it was a lot of fun. Got some breakfast afterwards, and yeah. So other than that, I had to do a couple edits to the map today. So we had two guests that I apparently forgot to place on the map. So there are two more guests on there. Dan Leisner and Gabe. They're on there too. My bad. Sorry. But they're coming too. It's gonna be a lot more fun. Even more people to check out and hang out with. I'm waiting to hear back from confirmation from the Pittsburgh CLO, but they're gonna be back in the costume contest for the show, which is great. My interview with Comic Book Yeti hit their social media and all of their podcast channels today. So if you are if you want to check out that at all, just look up Comic Book Yeti. And go ahead and listen to that. It's a lot of fun. I talk a lot about how I always feel like our show is like the family reunion you want to go to. Right? So it's a lot of fun. It's very cool. Make sure you guys check that out. Trying to think if there's anything else. For those of you interested in the con shirts, they are coming. They are in the mail. They ship today. We'll have them next week, so we'll have them a little bit early. So I may possibly sell a couple early to some people. Maybe. But we'll see about that. I think it's mostly going to be like NDC employees, mostly so then they can pimp it at the stores. So, yeah. I'm excited. I'm exhausted though. Oh, and thank you for everybody who came out to cosplay karaoke last night. We had a blast, even though I drove through a tornado to get there. That was crazy coming back from Ohio. I'm coming up 79, and I'm passing the Houston exit, and my phone goes, "Tornado, take shelter." And I'm like, "I got two more exits. Fuck this."
Jeez.
Crawling at 25 miles an hour through like whiteout rain. Oh, it was awful. But it was a lot of fun because I got to wear my red sequin tails that I never get to wear, that are awesome, makes me look like a magician. And a ringmaster, if you will.
Yes. Yeah, I would say Ringmaster fits though.
So it was a lot of fun. We closed the night out singing Pink Pony. So that was a good time. Pink Pony Club. So, because that is such a freaking earworm, I can't get it out of my head some days. So, but it was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to everything. It's kind of a small comic week, though. It doesn't really crazy went on in the media world. There's really not a lot. I mean, Doctor Who had a big shakeup. So two things happened. One, it got renewed for another season. However, we don't know if it's going to be on Disney. But it's not going to be renewed till 2027. So either way, there's going to be a year in between. We don't know if Shurigatwa is going to return. And at the end of the last episode, we had the return of a fan favorite villain, the Rainey, who is a sixth and seventh Doctor villain. And I watched this really crazy theory today about how Clara may have actually been the Rainey the whole time. And I was like, oh, that's really, really good. I don't know. So I'm very, or like some kind of companion to the Rainey. I'm very excited to see that. And if that is true, it will actually make me like that character, I think. But I think
You'd
it's
be
kind of
like
a
the
good.
Sith where she's the apprentice, Rainy.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the difference between the Rainey and the Master, right? Because everybody knows the Master. Because the Master is like the real big bad for the Doctor. The Master is obsessed with like making the Doctor miserable, right? And the Rainey just wants to experiment on everything. So the Rainey is basically like, everything is my grand experiment. So therefore the Doctor is part of that, and the Doctor just gets in the way of the experiment, right? So it's equally as brilliant as the Doctor. I'm just curious to see how it goes. But I'm very, very excited about it. So we get the season finale on Saturday. I'm very cool about that. And then lastly, before we talk about comics, don't forget Memorial Day weekend this weekend. Be safe. Go check out the warehouse sale. Some of the stores are either closed or short hours. Most of those hours are getting updated on the website as they come out. The store should be sending out emails tomorrow with their limited hours. That's pretty much that. So I miss anything? We good?
I think that's about it. I'm
Cool.
just keeping my animals in line here because they're extra play mode right now because they haven't been outside.
Oh, FYI, the palette is coming tomorrow because of the holiday. So,
What palette of what?
the diamond palette.
Oh, okay. The last diamond palette. I did see that on the news that I guess diamond is done, like they're
Well, it oh,
not.
I guess we could talk about that a little bit too. So, not that it's like technically the last diamond palette because it hasn't The sale isn't completed yet. So Diamond has been being is being bought by AdPop for sure. So all I know is most of the customer service people have been let go. Most or a lot of the we'll call it a lot of the manpower in the offices that are not the packers, the shippers, the warehouse people, a lot of the non-warehouse people were let go. So I don't know what they're gonna if they're gonna keep the offices in Maryland at all, or if they're gonna just absorb everything into AdPop's regular offices wherever they are, or if they're gonna absorb any of those people at all. I don't know. I don't know if they got any kind of like severance or whatever. I doubt it. Being in Chapter 11, it usually sucks. And the one company I was in that did go through Chapter 11, we were lucky that we did get it, but most companies do not actually give you that. So AdPop will be the new owner of Diamond. I don't know if they're going to change the name or if they're going to keep it. That's the thing they haven't said yet. So hopefully this will clean some stuff up and get some things back on track a little bit. But we will see. That's all I know is we will see. I hope all those guys that that did ended up losing their jobs, like I hope they find something good, hope they land somewhere. I do know a couple of those guys personally. They're some of them are good friends of mine, and I do hope that they do find something, and just wish them the best because it sucks. Been there, it sucks. So don't wish it upon anybody. All right, now let's talk comics. Since you have three and I have two, you get to go first.
Ooh.
How about that?
There you go. All right. This is Medieval Spawn number two. Now we left off from the first one, the first story about Medieval Spawn. Sort of kind of saving this village. It was already rampant with demons and evil, so pretty much nobody really survived other than I want to say, what was this kid's name? Richard. And he took Richard decides to join Medieval Spawn in his journey into finding the Aparaxis. Which it was the being that the I want to say the sorcerer from the first one conjured and it escaped into the Earth realm. But we get Evil Spawn fighting battles against orcs, I guess, by the looks of it. As this is going on, there is a village where this abbot is talking to a newer priest by the name of Brother Dempster, and he's worried about all these rumors about a hellspawn being on Earth and how they should deal with him. And the abbot is telling him, well, there are other things to worry about right now other than this hellspawn. And I have heard this Hellspawn is fighting against what we are also fighting. So let sleeping dogs lie, so to speak. And we're flashing back to Medieval Spawn, talking to Richard and him starting to think of him as a son, because you get to hear a little bit about his background with him. He had a wife and a daughter, and Richard never knew that because Richard was saying, my parents were in that village. They died. So, it there you're starting to see where the connection is. Pearson and the others in Medieval Spawn's side are getting frustrated because they can't find the Avarice. And Spawn's like, he's here somewhere. We should keep looking for him. And they're like, but this is taking forever. These are months of searching, and we still haven't found him. Meanwhile, as they're dealing with that, we find that there is a military commander that talks to Brother Dempster, and they conspire to basically kill the abbot for the good, for the greater good. And this is where Brother Dempster ends up kind of leading the village and going, let's go after this hellspawn. And that's the way the book ends. This was pretty good. Like the it's Spawn, again, one of my favorite versions of this character. The art is well done. The story is moving right along. So I'll give this like a, I'll say it 11 out of 12. Not quite perfect, but so far, pretty good.
Cool. That's a high praise for a medieval spawn book. So, all right. My first book is Absolute Flash number 3, which weirdly wraps up the first arc. So it's like I don't know if it meant to be 3 issues or if it's gonna be 3 issues here and then another 3 issue arc. It definitely, or at least it feels like it ends on an arc the way it ends on this, but I'll get to that in a minute. So it starts off where Wally's running. He's running. He's still kind of doing the whole like he can feel Barry ripping apart into the Speed Force as he runs through that moment. And he's having these connection moments. So his first connection's Barry, and that's the Speed Force part. And he keeps running and running and running, and he finally finds this barn and he crashes in the barn. Meanwhile, like the, I guess, Task Force X, we'll call him, has unleashed Gorilla Grodd, who's a monkey. He's not a gorilla. He's literally a monkey. That's the little monkey you see on his shoulder. That's Grodd. Right?
That's
Weirdly.
interesting.
So they cut to so Boomerang's on the phone with Wally's dad, right? And he's like, "We've unleashed the monkey." So
Oh, Lord.
he's like, "You got to bring my son back alive." So whoever this other professor is like there, and then the dad goes, "Thawne," and you're like, "Oh, Eddie Thawne." So Eddie Thawne is a scientist who works there. He's got a freaking man bun, and he has tapped into Grodd's eyes, so you can see through his eyes. Like you can see a feed through his eyes. So Grodd goes in there, and he's like, "Hey, I remember you. You're the monkey from the fort." And they have this ET touch fingers moment, right? Like it's actually kind of a cute moment, and he's like, "What are you?" And it's like almost like a drugged out moment. And then they have this moment of connection where then he has number two, where his connection with Grodd, and then he has a connection with his mom, and then Grodd's mom, and then they realize that they're very similar. So now they're starting to talk to each other telepathically, and Grodd and him realize that they're very similar. So they become instant best friends, right? While Captain Boomerang's boomerang comes in and blows up the barn. So they start running. He puts Grodd on his shoulder and runs. Grodd basically takes away the fear from Wally's mind, and then telepathically messes with Task Force X to like wreck their car and jack up all their crap so that Wally can like kind of get away. Wally does a force punch, like a speed run punch, and like knocks Captain Boomerang like way, way, way far away. It's pretty awesome. And he kind of like he runs back into the cave, picks up Barry's outfit that he was wearing, and then runs off. And then that's the end of this thing. It does say to be continued, but it also says like this has been the absolute flash in the two of other worlds. But it's also like it kind of feels like the end of an arc, even though it's not the end of an arc. So the way it ends, it felt very weird. So because of that, I'm gonna give it a 10 out of 12. But this book had so many good, fun moments in it. Like the whole Grodd experience of like Grodd basically being like an LSD monkey. It was so funny. I was just like, right? So instead of Grodd being this giant ape that's just like, Flash, you're my nemesis. It's, oh, we're the same. Like, we're totally gonna have this tripped out memory moment, and we're gonna be cool. And then I'm just gonna mess with all these people for you so that we can get away. And now I'm gonna be your like little henchman guy. Like, I just think it's hilarious.
Hey, is it any more hilarious though that is like Bruce Wayne is best friends with his the most of his enemies
Right,
in
right,
Absolute
right,
Batman, where
right.
Killer Croc is like a bud, and him and the
Right.
Penguin, and they're like you're following their friendship through the Batman book, and you're getting similar, the jokes, like him when he's jumping out of the plane, and I forget which one was driving the plane, but he's sitting there like ripping and Bruce. He's like, we all hate your ass. Not really Selina, because she thinks this is probably hot. But the rest of us, we're pissed with you. And it's exactly what
Right.
a friend would do, like when you find out that they've been keeping a secret like that, And I
Right.
love these absolutes because they're taking established things, and I mean established as in from Silver Age at least, to like current stuff where it's like, okay, we're gonna take all these things and we're just gonna jumble it up and we're gonna put something fresh out and we're gonna make
So
it something.
here's the conversation that I want to eventually have about these. So, because I started having this conversation with somebody the other day, and they kind of looked at me weird, and then they ended up having to leave. So we didn't get a full conversation. So the conversation that I'd like to have is, why is it when they do like a new 52 or a rebirth, and they try to do this kind of stuff, people lose their freaking mind. But when they're like, nope, this is just a different alternate reality, everybody's cool. Like, is it because it's not the continuity?
Yeah,
And
because it's not the main continuity,
okay.
because it still
Because like,
exists.
I almost, because there's certain parts of this universe that I'm like, I really like parts of this universe that I almost want to be in the main, right?
I felt the same with oh, what was the what's his name's Bat stories. His name's is slipping my mind, but he's the one where it's spiraled into Batman and Joker working together, and Batman and Harley have a romance. I forget which.
Oh, White Knight?
Yes, the White Knight.
Yeah.
I would like to
Yeah.
see
Sean
that being
Murphy.
kind of
Yeah.
more into the current continuity, because I think it would give Batman a little bit of spice up if it's, hey,
Yeah.
him and Harley are a couple. I think that would be a cool dynamic that doesn't really get viewed.
I kind of agree, but I just think it's interesting, like, some of the stuff that they're doing in this that people are like, this is awesome. And then my then question, my follow-up is going to be, so which continuity do they keep and which one do they ditch? Or do they keep them both and then they just ditch all the stuff in the middle? Right? Because
I think they'll probably
there's no way you can
they
keep
keep it
two full universes and all the
going.
extra stuff in the middle. Marvel tried it for years and it didn't
Didn't
work. And
work.
eventually they had to pick one, right? So.
If they were smart, they'd keep OG continuity and this continuity and kind of get rid of the filler.
I kind of agree. 'Cause like it's pretty much like your Justice League guys, like your main five to seven guys each, a Justice League book, a Titans book, and then like your alternate reality version of them. And then you might have like, I don't know, three minis going on at the same time. So, and then you would have to have your detective because that's in your action because you can't not have those two books. So, like, but other
It
than
could be
that,
just main continuity that
right,
is.
but other than that, those could just be in the main continuity. So you could literally trim the entire DC universe down to like 20 books a month and just make them really killer. And I would guarantee you this, I'm gonna say this. You're probably gonna be like, what the hell? But I'm gonna say it. I guarantee you, if you did 20 to 25 books a month, made them all double size prestige, you could charge 8 to 10 bucks a book every single month, and no one would bat an eye if there were only 25 books to choose from.
Don't know. I don't know. No. People are
I'm
complaining
just throwing
about
that out
quite.
there. As long
People
as
are
the stories
complaining
were
about
good,
stuff that.
as long as the writing stayed as good as these ones are, as long as it was good. Like, but if it's a lot of dumb filler, you know what I
But
mean?
Pete, you know what people are going to do is like, well, why can Image do what they're doing and keep their books at a low price where DC and Marvel keep jacking up the prices of their books, which is always a good point there.
It's because
But
they
I
have a
see where
higher.
you're going
Well,
too.
there's a difference in pay scale, but yeah, and stuff and pay scale, right? Like user rights, like say have to pay like royalties to families and stuff. So anyway, let's continue on. So that's a conversation for another night.
Hulk number 25. Now this is a kind of a Thor, more of a Thor story than it is actual Hulk. We get a little bit of a background with the with Valvaran, and the creature that Charlie wears to get her powers now, or the pelt, I should say, she wears the pelt. But there is history between Thor and Valvaran, as this is when Valvaran was on Earth terrorizing ancient villages, and Thor, young Thor, because he's carrying his axe instead of Mjolnir, and he ends up battling him like during those times, and he sees Valvaran's hide on Charlie, and he's like, "How dare you come back to this realm? And how dare you befriend my friend Hulk?" And and Hulk's like, "This is not what you think it is." And Thor is just doing his hot-headed thing. Hulk and Thor start fighting over Charlie, and it's going throughout New York because they're still at Doctor Strange's place. What was it? Charlie transforms to try to kind of be a buffer between two and say, stop, you're doing things. The three heroes and Sif try to help Thor, and they're like, like your green friend's angrier than usual. And Thor's like, yeah, I kind of hit him. And they all kind of looked at him. They're like, are you nuts? Which I thought was great, great writing on that part. We do see Hulk lift Mjolnir, which is really interesting because he was never able to lift it before. He actually
Ooh.
lifted it and he nails Thor in the face with Mjolnir. Which,
That's awesome.
that's great. It was pretty good. Eventually, Charlie actually saves Thor though, before Hulk really tries to kill him. And this is where Thor kind of realizes that that you are not Valorant. And they go on to do their own thing, Charlie and Hulk. At the end of the book, we get Bucky, and he's talking to what's her name? Who Doctor Strange's replacement currently. Because she is fixing Doctor Strange's house.
What the hell is her name? It's not
But
Clea, that's his wife.
no, it's not clear. I don't
I
think it's
forget.
clear.
Yeah.
But she's like, Bucky's investigating the disappearance of all the Gamma people who've been kidnapped by the entity in the big bad in this. So he's like, I gotta find Hulk, and I gotta, find this Charlie, and see what happens, deal with this. So I guess next book we're gonna see Bucky in this. This was really good. Like a good Thor Hulk battle is always a fun book for the most part. And this almost made up for the Alpha Hulk event that was the most beta alpha thing I've ever seen in my entire read in my entire life, when the battle between Hulk and Thor. This definitely kind of made up for that a little bit. Just in the few panels you get to see the fight is pretty good. I will give this a solid 9 out of 12. It not quite perfect, but you're still getting the story. Just you get a good battle. The art, of course, is still solid, and still better than Donny Cates's Hulk, by far. So,
Wow. Still trashing Donny Cates. Jesus.
I respect him for what he did to Venom. I just he just when you it's not hard to do a Hulk book, but he messed it up pretty well.
Okay, I'll give you that. All right. So, my last book, because I only read two books this week, Red Coat 12 from the guys at Ghost Machine, which, by the way, we have a signed volume one by Geoff Johns Red Coat graphic novel that is going to be raffled off at the Pennsylvania Freemasonry booth at the show. He donated that to us for this raffle. It's going to go to the Extra Life raffle at the con, so make sure you stop by there to get your raffle tickets for it. It's gonna be awesome. Thank you, Jeff and the guys at Ghost Machine for that. This book picks up where the other one left off. Simon Pure is talking to the Northerner. This book mostly is the Northerner explaining to Simon Pure that he doesn't come out and say it, but he basically is like, I'm a time traveler. You've met me, but you haven't met me yet. And Simon's still kind of confused as to what the hell's going on. But he's like, oh, you're going to pay me for this thing that I was supposed to deliver. Cool. I'll take it. So he's like, all right, well, take me to the guy who gave you the message anyway. And they call him the cobbler. So, because he's a shoemaker, right? So when they show the cobbler's house, and like this dude goes in his safe, and he's got a folder that says Department of Historic Preservation, Battle of Shiloh. He's got a can of cola. He's got like automatic weapons. He's got simple sabotage field manual. The Civil War day by day, like a bunch of gold bars, like all kinds of stuff, like a map of Civil War battles and stuff. So basically, the Northerner came from a future where the South won. And the cobbler is eating a Snickers bar. Some Union guys come in, and they're like, "Hey, we need to know where you're getting all this information." And the cobbler just literally takes out an AR-15 and wastes them in his r living room. Mind you, this is like 1846 or some shit like that. Simon and the Northerner walk into the barkeep's place to find out more information about the guy. And the girl, this little girl that's with him, tells him about how his guns look different. He's like, "Oh, now you have my interest piqued." So they get to the cobbler's house, and the Northerner's like, "I'm gonna go in by myself," and he's like, "No, you're not." So they both go in together. Cobbler comes out, starts shooting at him with the AR-15. Northerner pulls out two like modern pistols, starts shooting back. He blows up the house, and is just kind of like, "What the hell did you do? Now we gotta find him. I don't know where he's going." And he's like, "We need to find him before he gets to General Hood, because if he does, the South will win the war." Then you cut to the cobbler. He's in a trailer or in a wagon. It's loaded with automatic weapons, and he's headed to General Hood's to sell him that while eating another Snickers bar. So it's very good. I'm really loving this book like so much, mostly because it's history, it's alternate history, it's sci-fi, it's all that stuff put together. It's everything I like in everything I want in a book like this, really. So I'm giving this book an 11 out of 12. And the only reason I'm giving it an 11 out of 12 and not a 12 out of 12 is that it's short. Like, it just goes very fast. I want more. I just want more. So,
You've been saying that for the last couple.
every time. Every time. It's a solid 11 out of 12 every time. But when you get to the end of the trade, it's a 12 out of 12 trade. So.
All right, we have Spider-Man and Wolverine number one.
Who did this cover, by the way?
I have no idea.
Okay, I'm gonna look it up because this cover looks so cartoony. Like.
Like the Spider-Man almost looks very McFarlane, but the Wolverine, I'm not sure because it's definitely not a Wolverine artist I'm familiar with. What makes him look this cartoony?
Yeah, but the Wolverine looks like real cartoony.
Yeah, very like
All right, hold
night.
on. Care Andrews.
Okay.
So,
So a newer artist, but
I don't know necessarily know if that's true, but
I don't recognize this style at all. It's
I'm actually gonna look up what other books Andrews has done. So while
okay.
you're
All right, we got Wolverine fighting in the sewer with some remnants of Hydra, and we run into Bill Branscombe. He's a associate of Wolverine's, And he found something called the Janus Diary or Directory. And basically, it has all the secrets you could possibly, all the governments in the world have used for their, all their secrets and everything. And apparently, Shields got it. And Bill's like, yeah, it's got some stuff on there you probably don't want come to light. But he's like, there's also information there that if Shield has it, they're gonna do some shady stuff with it, like Shield tends to do sometimes. Then we get a flash forward, and we have Peter on a date with Shay Markadon. I guess this is his girlfriend instead of his usuals, I should
Like
say.
Gwen or Mary Jane, you mean?
Mary Jane,
Or Black Cat?
yeah, it's there's so many.
They're the main three. Let's
Yeah.
put it that way. Yeah.
So as he's getting coffee with his date, here comes Logan in on a motorcycle going, we're leaving now. So he grabs Peter, and Peter's like, he's a friend from work. Yeah, he's a friend from work, trying to explain this. And then Logan basically explains to Spidey, he's like, yeah, you're a dork, you can break into, computer systems. I can't. He's like, I just beat people up. And Peter just goes with it. They end up boarding the helicarrier of the Shield, only to be confronted by Kraven and Omega Red. And instead of the normal, taking off, like Spidey gets Kraven and Omega Red gets Wolvie, it's the other way around. Kraven and Wolverine are fighting. Spidey and Omega Red are fighting. And it goes how it goes. It's not something too exciting until this weapon that Kraven used all of a sudden makes Spidey and Wolverine hallucinate, and not in a normal way of flashback to their pasts or anything. They're actually in each other's past, where Spidey ends up going through Weapon X programming, and Wolverine is buried in a graveyard. And it's like all those little iconic moments, and you're seeing all the splash pages of all the things that Wolverine went through, Spidey is going through, whatever Spidey went through, Wolverine goes through. And they figure out what was messing with them was drug. There's some sort of drug in the weapon, and apparently Mysterio was behind all this. So surprise, surprise, of that kind of thing going on. Spidey takes care of Mysterio while Logan is still fighting Omega Red and Kraven. Spidey gets a hold of the Janus Directory, and he finds his parents, because you remember his parents are spies, I think Shield agents, if I'm not mistaken. So he wanted to find out what happened to them. And we get a shadow of what looks like Wolverine, because the hair. This shadowy figure apparently killed his parents. And then we have Wolverine as he beats Omega Red and Kraven. And then Spidey's like, Logan. And Apparently, Spidey thinks Logan killed his parents. We think he killed his parents. We're not sure. But he starts beat like starts pounding on Wolvie. And that's where this book ends. I'm gonna give this, I'll give this a 10 out of 12. That cover I'm not thrilled with. I grabbed one of the alternative covers, but the interior is just fine. The story is actually pretty good. This is obviously an alternative. I don't think this is in continuity, but I want to see where this goes. I like the whole thing of Wolverine possibly being the one that kills Peter's parents. That would be an interesting twist. But you know, they use that in the Civil War movie too, so
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
So but we'll see where it goes. Maybe it gets a little bit more creative, but I'll give it a shot. This is usually these limited series with Spidey and Wolverine are pretty decent. So
Cool. So I did look up Andrews, and he did a couple other books. A lot, actually. That I guess I've just never seen his art be quite that cartoonish looking. So he did Erratic from AWA Upshot. He wrote and drew that book. He did a bunch of covers, including Deadpool Marvel kills the Marvel Universe. He did Wolverine Enemy of the State. He did the interiors. He didn't do the cover that was John Romita Jr.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I thought that was John
Yeah,
Romita.
he did the that was like he did the cover, but Andrews did the interiors.
The
He did a bunch
interiors
of other
weren't
stuff
bad.
too. Yeah,
Yeah.
like it was actually pretty cool, like how much stuff he did.
Yeah.
So he did a lot of covers for AWA, a lot of like Zero Year stuff like that. Which that was a company that I was just thinking, man, I haven't seen anything from them in a while. Kind of miss them. Like they had some really good stuff, like Marjorie something, the basically like the time bandit, like the one that Garth Ennis was writing. And then Red Border was good. Archangel was good. Like they did a lot of good stuff. It was real good. It's just and then all of a sudden they like just kind of fell off the planet. So, but anyway. Yeah, other than that, I don't know that we have too much else to talk about tonight.
No, it's very quiet. I did see the Thunderbolts
Yeah.
this past weekend, so
Do we want to do a spoiler version? We can do a like we
we
can talk about
can.
that for
It's
like 10
yeah, we can
minutes.
talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah,
All
that's
right,
fine.
spoiler moment. Turn it
There you
off. Get the hell out. Go home.
go.
Or continue to listen and listen
Yeah.
spoiler filled.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like I enjoyed I think the things I enjoyed the most were I liked that it wasn't super funny and it also wasn't super actiony at the same time.
This
Right?
felt very what Cap and the Winter Soldier like. This is like that one where, you know, I consider that Captain America and the Winter Soldier as probably the best overall like solo movie. And this felt like that, where there was points to the action, there was points to everything, with a little bit of humor thrown in, but not so much over the top that it got redundant and,
Right.
you know,
Yeah.
doing it for the sake of doing it, you
I don't think it
know?
I don't think it felt forced ever,
No,
which was
no.
good. I loved that they just full on just killed fucking Taskmaster, because I hated that version of
No.
Taskmaster.
Yeah, but I was
And
like, okay,
I was like, how are they gonna retcon Taskmaster into being like, I went into it going, oh cool, they're gonna like actually make Taskmaster like decent, like they're made actually do something with Taskmaster to not make her suck. And they're like, oh, they just killed her, sweet. Like that solves that
she went
problem.
down easy too.
So
That I was like, Dad, you did that. Okay, that's one way of doing it. I'm like, okay. I mean,
it really, like, this movie, like, I thought kind of closed some plot holes
yes.
from Hulk, from Black Widow, from the Cap Winter Soldier move or show, a little bit even from Brave New World.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed all of it. I just thought it was very well done. It was probably the best, most balanced movie they've had in a long time.
Definitely.
And the weird part is like, it's, I think a lot of people are hating on it because they just don't like the characters aren't the A-lists, right?
Yeah. I
And
think that's what everybody's biggest beef has been since Endgame is where are the main guys?
yeah, like where are the A-list guys? Yeah.
Yeah. And again, this is what kills me is like you took a like D-E list team that nobody gave a crap about and turned it into a B list. I'm not gonna give Guardians A list, but I'll give them B list. And nobody was, oh, I love Guardians of the Galaxy. Unless you were hardcore into that part of the Marvel comics, which most people weren't, like most of the guys I hung out with or talked to about comics were not big into Guardians. They were big into Silver Surfer, they were big into all these other aspects of the cosmic
Or
Marvel
the Nova
stuff.
Corps.
Yeah,
I
but
mean,
never so
unless
much
they
the
read,
Guardians.
the only guys I know that loved the Guardians that went into that are the guys that read the Abnett and Landing run. They're the only guys that I knew going into that movie, because that was the lineup they used, that were like, oh, this is going to be good if they use that lineup, if they base it on this stuff. And I agreed because I thought it was going to be good. And I thought the first one was very good. The second one was a lot of forced jokes, and I thought the third one was actually the best of the three because it had the least amount of jokes in it. But yeah, you're right. They took like a D-list team because, they're basically space pirates.
But the thing is people love that, but then it's like, well, do you want other characters besides that aren't the OG Avenger lineup and X-Men? Because everybody loves those two. There are other groups out there like do Alpha Flight and
Yeah, but like, I want you to think about what you just said, and then think about all the hate all of the Disney Plus shows got.
oh yeah, I know.
Right? It's the
Again,
same thing. Like,
but it makes no sense to
right.
me.
Because
It's like you
I
can't.
just had the same conversation with somebody about She-Hulk, right?
Yeah.
Because they were like, it was awful. Like, it was blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, did you even read a She-Hulk comic? And they're like, I haven't read a She-Hulk comic since like the late 80s. And I'm like, well, no shit then. Like, no wonder you didn't like it, because it was like the Dan Slott and John Byrne runs come to life. Like, that's really what it was. But like, the guys that were like, why did they have to make the Hulk girl? Why did they have to make her break the fourth wall like Deadpool? I'm like, you guys have
She's
no
always done that.
idea what the continuity. Like, you have no idea what the, like, your concept of what this character is has no bearing, because you have not read any of the back, like, any of the
Yeah, you have no
actual
background.
Like, yeah, you've not read any of
Yeah.
the source material. That's where I was going.
I remember someone mentioning when She-Hulk was there, is like, oh, they just made her up. She doesn't actually exist in comics. And I'm like, I did a double take and I'm like,
What?
no, she's been in comics for years.
Yeah,
And
since like the 70s.
they're like, no. And I'm like, here, Google. And I'm like, here. And they read like, what was it, 1970 is
Seven,
when she
seven, uh, 78 or something.
seven
So
it
it was
mid
like late
70s.
70s. It was
Yeah.
late 70s because so it started off. She was going to be introduced as Bruce Banner's sister on the show, on the live action show. But then they were like, "No, we don't want to have him have a sister, because he doesn't have a sister in the comics, right?" So Stan Lee was like, "Well, I really like this concept, so I'm going to make it his cousin, and I'm going to make this thing, and blah blah blah," and then, like. It was a very interesting, like the way I was like, I don't think you've read enough of her books to understand that that show was pretty much how a lot of her books read. It was like very issue by issue, random lawyer problem at a time. The thing that I had a problem with the most about that show was everything that happened with the Abomination. Like, that was the problem I had. I was like, that part was stupid as hell.
Yeah,
Like,
it was very poorly written. It was very, that part was bad. Like, but the She-Hulk, as far as the character, like if it was
I
focused
thought they
on
wrote
her, was
her
fine.
great.
Yeah. It was just the supporting characters that they are the supporting stories, like the weird
This guy
stuff that
went
they were
on.
trying to
This guy
do.
went so far as to say, "I don't know why they keep making these female characters that have no flaws." And I went, "But they do have flaws." And he's like, "No, they don't." I'm like, "Yeah, they do." And he's like, "Well, what was She-Hulk's flaw?" I'm like, "She-Hulk's flaw was the fact that she not only could control it and be the Hulk at when she could be, she didn't know how to adjust to maintaining that when she needed to do that, right? Like, she didn't know how to adjust to having that power versus she could control the shift, but and control the fact that she was in control of her mind when she was in Hulk form. But she didn't know how to control being in public, and she didn't know how to control like the criticism and all of the stuff that goes along with being a 8'4" giant fucking woman who's built like the mother of all Amazons, like, and being. And being a woman, like, because like they were like, "Oh, well, she's just sleeping around with everybody," and blah blah blah. I'm like, "Yeah, guess what? That happens, like the whole and a lot of that was in the comics too. Like the Daredevil Walk of Shame totally was in the books. Like all of the Easter eggs that were in that show. Like if you read those books, there were so many freaking Easter eggs. It was like great, but and then same with like Kamala Khan. Like he was like, well. Like she has no downside. I'm like, but she does because she's a teenager, dude. Like she doesn't know how to do anything. Like, she doesn't even know how to control
The
it
reason
at
she
all.
became popular is because she's basically the female version of Peter Parker, where
Right. Because she's
it's just,
learning and
yeah,
how
she's
and she's
learning how to
dealing with this
do this
crap.
stuff. Yeah.
And then like Captain Marvel, like was the only one that we actually kind of agreed upon, because of like they did the mind wipe, and then it was, "Hey, you're gonna be a soldier,"
Yeah.
and so you're kind of like that. And then it went into, like how she like by Endgame she had like more of a personality, like because her memories were coming back, But like, and then we started talking about the Marvels movie, and then we were talking about how the villain was actually the worst part of it because they like, not because they gender swapped it, because they use a villain that made no sense to be in that movie at all. I'm like, well, they kind of were just trying to use the Kree thing still, and they were trying to, figure out a way to work that band in there, which, they were still trying to get into the like they were trying to figure out a way to work the multiverse. So it kind of worked. Was it the best script? No. Was it a lot of fun? Yes. But a lot of people just went into it hating it because they were just like, oh, I gotta like females. So
Well, again, that's we know how to deal with those people. And for the most part, but
right.
no, the Thunderbolts to me were it was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was
It
really
was
good.
solid. Everybody had their own little thing, I think, except Ghost. Ghost was they kind of left her out.
I actually thought they developed Ghost a lot better in this movie than they did in Ant-Man. Like they really developed the character a little more. Like
She
they
was kind of
actually
the
gave her more personality. They
Yeah,
gave her a little bit more depth in this movie.
but she was the only one that kind of didn't have the whole touch and did the flashback to the past, which fleshed out everybody else, which was awesome. I love how they did Sentry.
Me too.
It's
I thought
I
they
like how they
adapted
did
it
the
well.
Void.
I agree. I think they did both of those very well, and they adapted them well to the movie ver a movie version versus the comic version. And I thought they just did that just in general very well. So.
Again, this was one of those. I think people are just they want Endgame all the time, or at the very least, they want the first Avengers movie all the time. And you're not going to get that. There's going to be ones that are like, you go see it, for the continuing, story, because it moved everything kind of forward, with how they're being dealt with as Avengers, which, apparently isn't very good, and the whole thing with Sam Wilson, and then we get the intro to the Fantastic Four, which will lead to Avengers. Whichever
Do
Avenger
more, do
going.
more. Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm excited for it, and it was fine. The Red Guardian was a big goof as per usual, but the character is supposed to be like that, so it doesn't bother me.
I loved Bucky. I liked everything they did with Bucky.
Yeah, I like made him a senator. That was
Yeah.
interesting. I'm like, yeah,
Yeah.
okay, cool. Still not the worst thing I've ever seen in politics, fake or real.
Right.
But no, it was a solid movie. I give it like an 8 out of 10. Like, it was it perfect by any means? No, but it was solid and it was above average.
Yeah, I'd
So
probably give it
it's
like a 7.5 out of 10.
yeah, it
Yeah.
Around the same. It's
Yeah. It was a like I said, because I think I gave didn't I give Brave New World like a 6 out of 10?
yeah, something like
So it was
that.
better than that. Because I think it just moved the story along a little bit better. I like what it did with mental health. I thought that it tackled that very well. Yeah, I just thought it did. I just thought it overall just did it all very well. So, but all right. Well, that's all the time we got for tonight. Thanks for watching and listening. Thanks for listening on whatever post version you want to listen to, Spotify, Apple, Google,
YouTube.
YouTube, whatever. And hopefully we see you guys at Three Rivers Comic Con. You can check us out in these blue shirts. High fives are welcome. And if you see us at any of our New Dimension comic stores, you can give us a high five there too. And yeah, that's about it. And like I said, take care of this holiday. holiday weekend, and make sure you go and spend some money at your local comic shop. Doesn't have to be us, but it's nice if it is. And until next week, where we will have some special guests, hopefully, if I can remember to confirm with them this weekend, that would be cool. We will see you then, and then the week after that, we will have the guys from Comicsburg on to do the Thursday night before load-in. It'll be the pre-show show. It'll be a lot of fun hanging out with like Marvin and DP and all those guys. It'll be a lot of fun. So catch you later, guys. Thanks for watching, and we will see you next week.